Please and turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. The message tonight, are you calling Jehovah a liar? Are you calling Jehovah a liar? Brother Reese and I was out a day this week and ran into some Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'd like to share a little bit with that conversation. Isaiah 43. And Brother Joe, let's see, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity you've given us in your house tonight, Father. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just pray that you would just guide us as we look into your word now.
Yes.
Show us something from it, Lord, and just bless each one here.
Yes. Amen. Isaiah 43, and let's look at 10 through 12. Isaiah 43, 10. The Bible says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Jehovah's Witnesses get their name from verses 10 and 11, and of course, they misuse it, they twist it, but here's where they get their name. You may say, well, I don't see the word Jehovah there. Well, in verse 10, the word Lord, the first letter is a big capital, and O-R-D are small capitals. And the King James translators did that, capitalize with the small caps when it's the Hebrew name for God, Jehovah. So that's what's behind that word Lord, is the Hebrew word Jehovah. So in these verses, Jehovah God wants people to know who he is. Well, verse 10, ye are my witnesses. What do witnesses do? Well, they testify what they know. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And that word, Lord, Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know. So first of all, he wants people to know who he is. So pray for the Jewish people. They won't even pronounce this name. I knew a Baptist pastor, knew of a Baptist pastor. I did not know him personally, but I got on his mailing list somehow. I think because for a while they supported Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie in Mexico. And it was a large church, but he was a military man. I believe he was a Marine. And so somehow he got to know some military leaders in Israel. And he went over there many times. But in his newsletters, because he was trying to reach Jews, he kind of did the same thing they did. Like, he wouldn't even print out the name God. He would put G-D. But, you know, you think about that, the apostles, they didn't hold back from saying Jesus' name or the name of God just because it might offend the Jewish people. They need to know the name Jesus. And I'm not sure if he's with the Lord or not. I really don't know. But God wants witnesses to tell who he is, that ye may know and believe me. This is critical when you're talking to Jehovah's Witnesses, to just press this point home. This is Jehovah talking. He wants people to know him. He wants people to believe what he is saying. And then he goes on, and understand that I am he. Well, who? Well, if you read on, before me there was no what? No God formed, neither shall there be after me. So the first point here is Jehovah wants the world, everyone, to know that he is God, and there was no God before him. And then as you read on here, neither shall there be what? After me. So there's no true living God before the true living God, and there's going to be no true God after the true and living God. He is God, and there's none else. So that's the 2 points there. And then in verse 11, he goes on to say, I am who?
The Lord.
And notice that big capital L, O-R-D is in a little shorter caps. They call it small caps. So you know, the King James translators put that in there so you would know it's Jehovah, the Hebrew word Jehovah, for Jehovah God. So it says, I am the Lord, Jehovah, and beside me there is what?
No savior.
So we began talking that when we went into the yard, I think this lady was out there watering something, and so we drove in, and so she kind of hung around the front door there and walked up there, and she let us know right away that she was Jehovah's Witnesses. And then I was so thankful, then her husband came out. And so I'd ask her, I says, have you always been a Jehovah's Witness? Yep, she was raised in it. So her husband comes out, and I ask him, I says, do you go to the hall too? Yes. I said, were you raised in it? Yes. So two lifelong people, which I've asked that question a lot of times to Jehovah's Witnesses, and a lot of them have come from other churches, a lot of them. Sadly, even from Baptist churches. But these two were lifelong in it. So I asked him, the husband, I said, can I get your take on this verse here? And so I said, this is where you all get your name. So I read these two verses, and then I asked him, I said, so you would say that Jesus is the Savior? Yes. He acknowledged that. I said, and you would say that Jesus is not God? And he would say, yes, he's not God. So reading this here, and I said to him, I says, well, verse 11 says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And I said, so according to this, Jehovah says, there is no Savior beside him. And so they began to insert different things and refer to different verses, but we must not let Jehovah's Witnesses play tag with us, because that's what they want to do. You'll give them a verse that they can't answer, and then they'll want to run to another verse, and they want you to chase them to that other verse. And so you'll give them a verse, and you want them to chase you to that verse, and all you do, you're not settling any question. So I decided with these two, no, we're not going to leave these verses till we settle some questions here. So don't let them do that. So I said, no, Jehovah says there's no Savior. So they said Jesus is the Savior, but he's not God, and he's not Jehovah, they say. So I said to him, but Jehovah says beside me there is no Savior. And so I just start emphasizing that to them. I am not going to contradict Jehovah God. He said he is the only Savior. And I just kept saying, no matter what they would say, I just emphasize that. But Jehovah says, I cannot call Jehovah God a liar. He said beside me there is no Savior. You know, with Jesus, when he was witnessing to people, he got them thinking, didn't he? He said things that made them think. And so pretty soon they were asking me, don't you believe that Jesus is the Savior? They're thinking. Because I kept saying, Jehovah said beside me there is no Savior. And so now they're asking me questions. You're thinking, good. I said, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Savior. And he says, well, how can that be? How can that be? Jehovah said he's beside me, there is no Savior. So we kind of went back and forth there. And I said to them, because now they're bewildered. I'm sticking to it over and over again. I just kept saying I cannot contradict Jehovah. He said beside me there is no Savior. And yet I'm saying, I believe Jesus is the Savior. So they're finally asking the question, how? You say, the Bible says, Jehovah says, beside me there is no Savior. How can that be? Well, what's the answer? Well, when I finally drilled that home over and over and over, Jehovah said beside me there is no Savior, I cannot call Jehovah God a liar. Well, what are Jehovah's Witnesses going to say? If a Baptist keeps saying, I cannot call Jehovah God a liar, are they going to call Jehovah God a liar? No, they're not going to use those words. So when this point was finally drilled home, and they were asking, then what are you saying? What are you saying? I said, same book gives the answer here, Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. And I said, and I had my Bible right there showing it to him. I said, you will agree that this is a prophecy about Jesus. Yes, they agree. This is a prophecy about Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. And then I stopped and I held my Bible up closer to him and I said, and what does it say next? What does it say? The mighty God. And guess what she said? But not the Almighty God. Okay, I've had others say that same thing. She said, but not the Almighty God. And I said, well, I'll take you to another verse in a minute, but I want you to read what it says next. I held it up there. What does it say? The Everlasting Father. Now, what are they going to do with that? They can't do anything with that. When it says that he is the mighty God, the next phrase there explains clearly what is meant. He's going to be called the Everlasting Father. And, of course, they would say that the Everlasting Father is Jehovah God. So it's clear, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 goes on to emphasize it is Jesus, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of who? The Lord of hosts. Look at Lord. Big capital L, small caps, O-R-D. So this Lord, what's the Hebrew name behind it? Jehovah. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I said to him, the man, I said, the answer is that Jesus is God. And then he started, impossible, impossible. And he started giving bits and pieces why that could not be possible. But I was not leaving this. Don't play tag with him. I was not leaving this passage until we were done. Not possible? In Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, Jehovah God wants people to know him and believe him. To know that he is God. And beside him, there is no Savior. And in here, it explains to us that this child that is born, this son that is given. So the child is born. That's referring to the earthly body of Jesus. Mary is the mother of Jesus' earthly body. But Mary is not the mother of eternal God. That's why the son is given. So the child is born. That's a real earthly body of flesh. But The Son is given from heaven. The eternal Son of God is given from heaven. I'll take you to another verse in a minute, Lord willing. But so, impossible? He had a cell phone there in his hand because as I was giving things, he was trying to find the JW, the Jehovah's Witness website, and trying to look for answers, you know, to what I was saying. Nowadays, Jehovah's Witness normally go around with iPads. And so whatever you put out to them, if they don't have the question, they're going to look it right up on their own website and try to give you an answer. Like when I said that Jesus, well, when this verse says that Jesus is the mighty God, they immediately say, but not, it doesn't say he's the Almighty. So he was desperately looking there for answers. But so it's very clear that Jesus is God. So he's saying that it's impossible. The Father, Jehovah, can't be one with his Son. And they come up with, you know, like they'll try to compare, you know, an earthly son and an earthly father. Brother Reese brought out a good point to him. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because this man could not comprehend that God could possibly be three persons in one. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole what? Spirit and what? Soul and what? Body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we can try to describe the body, but how do we describe our soul and spirit? What do we know about it? Well, we know we are three-part beings. We were created in the image of God. And so that's what Brother Reese was trying to explain to him. But at that point, they'd already said a couple times that they thought it was best just to close the conversation at that point. But it was a good point that he brought out. And it's a good point to bring up to them. But I said to him before that point, I said, he had that cell phone in his hand, and I said, what do we really know about cell phones? I mean, us. I mean, it's how they work. You know, some of you really know all the different apps and what they'll do. But I mean, the part about how can you have a piece of plastic in your hand and talk in it and have a real conversation with someone that could be on the other side of the world, or it could be across town, or could be across the table. You're texting someone. Are we just pretending, you know, like little children? Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Are we just all little children playing with our piece of plastic? If we don't understand how our voices, and maybe you do. If you do, you can come up and tell me just how that does work. But we use them, but do we really understand cell phone technology? I dare say most people do not. Well, we believe it, but the problem is with people like that, Jehovah's Witnesses, they impossible? It's impossible for God to be three persons in one? We don't even understand cell phones. How could we understand God? How can we understand out of this realm? You know, we are in this realm, this universe. We have no clue of the power outside of this realm. We were created in God's image, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's another good place to go, although I didn't go, but let's go there right now in Matthew 28, Matthew 28. There are so many passages to prove it, but I wanted to leave with them in Matthew 28, 18. Matthew 28, 18. What I wanted to leave with them is, if you are saying Jesus is not Jehovah God, then you are calling Jehovah a liar. Think about that. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying what? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then how could he be God? If not God, if he has all power in heaven and in earth, how can he not be Almighty God? Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in what? The name. Is that word name singular or plural? It's singular. Baptizing them in the name of who? The Father and of who? The Son and of who? Holy Ghost. Then why did it say, why didn't it say baptizing them in the names of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Well, it's just another proof that they are one. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I did take them at the end to another verse when it comes to the Son in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Because they believe that Jehovah God created heaven and earth, not Jesus. And there's many other verses we can go to, but verse 4, Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established what? All the ends of the earth. What is what? His name. And what is what? His Son's name, if thou canst tell. It's talking about creating the heaven and the earth and saying, what is his Son's name? What is the Creator's Son's name? Some people say, oh, you wouldn't know there was the Son of God in the Old Testament. Well, you would from that verse. His Son's name. Well, let's go back then here to Isaiah 43, first of all. Isaiah 43. So I kept pressing that thought toward the end of our conversation. I said, you need to pray. You need to pray and ask God to show you the answer to this, because they will not accept that Jesus is God. So once again, Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. So the bottom line is, they are not believing Jehovah God. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And what's the Hebrew name behind that? Jehovah, and beside me there is what? No Savior. Jehovah said, beside me there is no Savior. They must be one. So I'd stay in the same book with them, just, but don't leave this until they acknowledge, yes, Jehovah is saying, beside me there is no Savior. That's what he's saying. Clear. So what's the answer to it? Isaiah 9. Once again, Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and ask them, do you believe this is referring to Jesus Christ? Yes. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And then have them read it. And what does it say? the mighty God. And what do you say to them when they say, well, he might be the mighty God, but he's not the almighty? What do you tell them? Read the next verse. The everlasting Father. It calls him the everlasting Father. Who is it calling that? The Son. It's calling him the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, and so then they come out, well, impossible. This man said that more than once. Impossible. It's not possible. Read verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of who?
The Lord.
The Lord. And what's the Hebrew name behind Lord?
Jehovah.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will what?
Perform
this. Perform what? Verse 6, the child being born, the Son, the eternal Son of God being given from heaven, this child being the mighty God, this child being in the flesh, the everlasting Father, Jehovah God. Impossible? Who's doing this? Verse 7 says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's God. It's Jehovah God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, we end up going to a few other verses, but I just stuck to these two. Don't leave here. No matter what they say, wait a minute. You said you believed that verse 6 is referring to Jesus. Correct? Yes. And what does it call Jesus? The mighty God. Do you agree this verse says that he's the mighty God? And then it calls him the everlasting Father. Is the everlasting Father almighty God? Yes, he is. If they say impossible, then tell them verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The miraculous virgin birth. Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And that holy thing which is born of you, that will be the Son of God. And, I did take them to Revelation chapter 1. The Bible does call Jesus the Almighty. It actually uses that phrase. In Revelation, let's start in verse 7, Revelation 1, 7. Revelation 1, 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds. So, would you agree that this is Jesus? Yes. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. So, he's coming with clouds, and we'll look at a verse in a minute, and then in relation to that. They pierced him. Did they pierce Jesus? Yes. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the who?
Almighty.
The Almighty. The Bible clearly says he's the Almighty. You know, I didn't rush right here. Because I just wanted him to see, you can prove it from Isaiah 9:6. He's called the mighty God, and right after that, the everlasting Father. So the less you have to run, just keep pressing home. Jehovah is saying this, Jehovah God. And I just kept saying it to him. I cannot contradict Jehovah God. I cannot call Jehovah God a liar. This is what he says. The man said, impossible. Isaiah 9:7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah, will perform this. And there's many other verses, obviously, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But like I said, once you start taking off and running, you're going to be playing tag and you're not going to be able to accomplish something. What you want them to do is to think. And as we left there, you know, as we left there, they said, you know, well, you know, there's no use continuing the conversation because you aren't going to persuade us and we aren't going to persuade you. You know, people say that, but you know what? When you keep drilling home, I cannot contradict Jehovah God. I cannot call Jehovah God a liar. You know what? People can say something on the outside, but you know, inside they're gonna remember that. This person. And they said to us, they said, no one has ever been at our door other than our own brothers from the hall, Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, well, we cover like a 10-mile radius. And I said, it takes us literally years to get to homes. And they asked me, they said, do people ever mistake you for us? And I says, many times, many times. But in 1 Thessalonians 4 here in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say in you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in what? The clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's many other verses you can go to about, like in Revelation we was looking at there, about he cometh with clouds. But like I said, once you get on the run, you're going to be running. And we want them to think. We want them to ask questions. And then we want to... Repetition. Brother Jim's grandmother was a school teacher, and his mother too, but she worked at their end. I think she was just volunteering for Cedar Springs, but students that have learning disabilities. And she always said, repetition is the key to learning. So when we're dealing with a cultist, instead of just running back and forth and they'll never remember what passages we were at, we need to just be repetitive and get it to stick in their mind. So I'm just praying that this couple would get saved. So pray for them. You know, sometimes I think people just give up on the cultists. But you know, their souls for whom Christ died. We want them to be saved. And it doesn't seem like many. The problem with Jehovah's Witnesses is that they're, you know, if they leave the group, it's like they're shunned. And, you know, they get a whole network of people and businesses. And, I mean, if they leave the hall, you know, they end up leaving, you know, a whole network. And so it's quite a decision for them to leave. But some are saved, and we want to get the truth to them. So I pray this will help. Isaiah 43, 10 through 12. Isaiah 9, 6 through 9, or go as far as you want there. But... I just pray that God would help us to see them saved. There's no other way to be saved than through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty in the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Lord, it's so hard to make people think and not just turn us off, to actually consider what we are saying and think it through. Lord, I pray for this couple who have been in a cult their whole lives. But Lord, as we talked about this morning, we thank you that your throne of grace has opened today. And Lord, we don't want that couple to face the great white throne judgment, having been deceived all these years. Lord, even right now, may the Holy Spirit bring those scriptures to their minds, to pierce even the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and discern their thoughts and intents of their heart. Lord, we just pray for their salvation. And Lord, I just pray that their salvation would then bring others out of that cult. Just like Saul, later to be the Apostle Paul, was such a persecutor of Christ and Christians. And yet, later in his life, he preached the gospel which once he destroyed. Lord, I pray that this couple would be able to share with their family and friends the truth, and that they might be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please.